level for you. Okay, all right. Oh, you've got that one on, right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Sound man. Am I all right? Okay. Sorry. Okay. Shall we have a prayer together? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are free to come and worship you today. We honour you and we bless you, and we do pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through me to us all. Lord, we thank you for your word of God. We thank you that it leads us and guides us. And so now, Lord, help us just to learn more from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's really good to be with you on what I'm told is Bible Sunday. Phil Goody, when he sent me an email, said that today is Bible Sunday. And some parts of the world also celebrate today as Reformation Day. And I don't know if you remember that last year, as part of the Waypoint celebrations, we had the 500-year celebration of the Reformation. I don't know if anybody went to that. It was a good event. And also last Sunday, we were here and we had a gentleman called Peter who was representing the Gideon Society. And it was good to hear from him. I don't know if any of you watched Songs of Praise that afternoon.
Yes.
The Gideons were on there. I thought, oh, snap, that's good. So, and we also, we talked about, or he did, about Mary Jones and how she had to work so hard for so many years to get her Bible. And we just can have this day to be so grateful that we have got easy access to the Word of God. We can read it in book form, or we've got it on our tablets, phones, so many different ways, and that's great. And as I've been preparing this week, I really felt the Lord wanted me to just be more and more thankful that I have got his word and that we have got the word of God. But also I've been thinking about the people in my life who have taught me the scriptures. And I can just think of people at different ages, and I've been so grateful. And I think, so today, we can give thanks for the Word of God, but let's also give thanks for the people who've unpacked some of the treasures that are in the Word of God. So Phil gave me a couple of scriptures to base the talk on, and I'm going to start with one. And so I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14, and through to 4, verse 5, and I'll start with the NIV. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So it's a wonderful passage, and I'm sure that many of you are very familiar with it. I thought, let's just think about the background to the passage. So it's a letter of Paul to Timothy. Paul's again in prison, and he knows that soon he's going to face death. But he has such a love for the churches that he started and love for Timothy that he doesn't bemoan his fate. He writes to encourage him to keep going. He wants to pour out his heart into Timothy's life so that Timothy can carry on ministering to these churches that Paul set up. So it's a letter of encouragement and exhortation to stand firm in their faith in Jesus. It's a letter of encouragement to persevere despite the persecution of Christians. He wanted him never to give up, but to hold on to the truth of the scriptures and to keep preaching about Jesus. Now, Paul refers to Timothy as a true son in the faith. Paul had seen the potential in Timothy when he was a very young man. Despite the fact that Timothy wasn't particularly brave or robust in health, but Paul knew that what was important was to focus on the inner strength that comes from studying God's word and living it out day by day. And actually, Paul in the passage refers to the fact that Timothy had known the scriptures from infancy. And if you go back into chapter 1 of this second letter, there's mention of Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Timothy's father had been a Greek. So it was a mixed race marriage, so the mother's side was Jewish, but the father was Greek. But there was a godly influence on young Timothy from these two women. They had a strong faith, and they had taught him the scriptures. And this really is my first point. I was thinking, I'm a grandparent now, and I've got two grandsons. And I'm thinking, when my children were young, I took the responsibility with my husband to teach them about Jesus and to read the Bible, to read the Bible stories. And now I can do it to my grandchildren. And it's so important. And I just want to encourage you that with your children and your grandchildren, it's so important. There's so many calls on their attention, but it's so important to read. There's lots of things also vying for their attention. There's the screens, there's the iPads and all different things. And even if you perhaps have got some sort of Christian game on your iPad, nothing takes the place of sitting down with your child or your grandchild, or maybe even great-grandchild. Somebody here might be able to do that. And great aunts now. So is it a nephew or a niece? A nephew or a niece?
Yeah.
So a great nephew. Will you be able to do it with the great nephew? But it's to sit down and to read Bible stories or to read the Bible with your children. It's so important. And I've started to do that with Joshua. We had quite a laugh when we were reading about Abraham, because God told Abraham to leave Ur. And he thought that was very funny, and we agreed that really Ur was such a funny name that it was a good idea that he was told to leave it. But it stuck in his mind already that Abraham was called out of Ur to go on a journey. So I just want to encourage you to do that. And for me, I'm really grateful that my parents did teach me about the Lord. Now, we don't all have that privilege. I realise I'm very fortunate. Some people, you're in your adult life before you hear about Jesus. But I was so fortunate. My parents taught me. We went to church. But there was two things that happened when I was an early teenager that was quite formative in my life. We'd always gone on holiday to the seaside. And one year we got announced that we weren't going to the seaside. And I thought, horror of horrors. Why not go on holiday to the seaside? And we were going away to this place called Capon Ray Hall, which was up somewhere near the Lake District. And my parents were going to go to Bible talks every morning. And I was going to go with my sisters to a youth Bible talk. And then we'd be allowed to play in the afternoon. So it seemed a very different holiday from going to the seaside. But it was there that they explained to me that even though I had been brought up in a Christian family and I prayed, and I was quite a religious little girl, really. It was explained to me that I needed to make my own personal decision to ask Jesus to be my saviour. And it was not good enough just sort of because I'd been brought up that way. I actually needed to make that decision and ask Jesus to be my saviour. And I did. And I'm so grateful. And life goes on and you have other significant times. And some times in your life you do remember and you hold on to, and others can be buried for a while. And one thing that was buried for a while was this book. Now, not that I haven't read the Bible, but this is a New English Bible. Some of you might have been around long enough to remember that translation, the New English Bible. But this was a Bible that was given to me when I was at school, and I used it for quite a while, and then it got put on the shelf. But I got it out the other day. I just felt as if the Lord was saying, go and get that Bible. And I opened it up, and then I read the inscription. It said, the Merton Education Committee present you with this book, the most valuable book in the world, desiring that you use it whilst at school and retain it when you leave. Herein is God's inspired word, his wisdom and his truth, to comfort you and guide you along the path of life that leads to his eternal kingdom. And that it was signed by the headmistress, but it was the education committee. That's what they wrote, and that's what they gave. How times have changed. But mercifully, we've got Cast and Family Trust. But I just thought, I'm so pleased that I did keep this translation, because later on I got an NIV, and then I got a New King James, and an NLT, and the Amplified. I got the Amplified when I was confirmed. But this is so precious, and I think what was written in there, and the other children in my school would have got the same Bible. I don't know how many have kept them. But I just thought, from infants, you know, I've been learning the scriptures just as Timothy had. And it is such a blessing. We are so fortunate. So I'm just going to read you now. You've got the New Living Translation, and verses 15 and 16 has it this way. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. So I think that translation is very helpful. But it says that the scriptures are giving us wisdom to receive salvation. And I think that's something we need to remember, is that salvation is a gift which we need to receive. Just because my parents taught me about Jesus, I still had to get the revelation that I needed a personal saviour. So, and I still needed to then realise that I was being given the gift of salvation. It wasn't a matter that if I was a good girl I could earn it, or if I prayed enough, but I needed to receive. And I think that's something that we need to just always remember, that the scriptures will show us that it's a gift and we can receive it. Paul encourages Timothy to teach the scriptures because they are the true, inspired, God-breathed word. They can be trusted. We're not to disregard any part of the scripture. Now, last week, Peter, who was speaking, felt prompted to encourage us to read and study the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Now, bearing in mind that when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, the scriptures that he was referring to, that Lois and Eunice had read, would have been the Old Testament. Maybe there were one or two letters around from Paul or other apostles, but the New Testament, as we know it today, hadn't been compiled then. So Timothy had been taught the Old Testament, and yet he still says that this is able to make us wise for salvation. And so I just want to share with you a little bit about my love of the Old Testament. I've always loved it. I love to see the history. I love to see how all the patterns and the different families and about the covenants and all that. But a few years ago, when I was listening to a preacher, he was saying, what we need to know is that though Jesus is clearly revealed in the New Testament, he's actually present, just concealed throughout the Old Testament. And it's a great joy when you read the Old Testament, but you actually then look for the places where there is a revelation of Jesus in the Old Testament. And I found a very good teaching series by a lady called Marilyn Hickey. I don't know if anybody's heard of her, but she has written a whole course on seeing Jesus in every book in the Bible. And that has been a tremendous blessing in my life. But there's so much joy if you look in the Old Testament. Back in Genesis, there's many hints about Jesus. For instance, the ram that God provided for Abraham to sacrifice instead of his son Isaac, that's a picture of Jesus. What about the life of Joseph? There's similarities with the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus. Then there's the, in Exodus, there's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, the high priest, Jesus, is our high priest. In Joshua, there's the captain of the hosts. In Boaz, in the book of Ruth, is the kinsman redeemer. And in Nehemiah, now you might think of Nehemiah as a book about rebuilding walls, the broken down walls of Jerusalem. But when you really can get into Nehemiah, you can actually see that it's Jesus who rebuilds by the Holy Spirit the walls of our soul. You know, when we become Christians, our spirits are saved, we're born again, we've got the life of Jesus in us. But quite often there's a lot of repair work that needs to go on in our souls, in our feeling, in our emotions. And it's so lovely as you get to study Nehemiah, and you can see some very amazing things in the book of Nehemiah that just show us how God deals with our souls. And so on, and there's many more. But so this leads me on to my second passage. So I'm thinking now about seeing Jesus in the Old Testament, and I'm thinking about when Jesus came to earth, the Jews had got the Old Testament, but were they looking really for Jesus, or were they looking for a different type of Messiah? I think so. I mean, some people say that if I'd been living in the days when Jesus walked the earth, it would be so easy, you know, easy to believe in him, because I'd see his miracles, I'd see his signs, his healings. But some of the Jews really struggled. And so let's read a passage from John 5. It's 36, second part to 47, and it's Jesus speaking. The works the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in my own his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe since you accept glory from another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? So he says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. So Jesus is crediting them that they do search the scriptures and they are looking for eternal life. And actually, you think nowadays, a lot of people aren't looking for eternal life. They're just looking for satisfaction in this life. Quite often, some people have no concept of eternal life. So that's quite sad. But they didn't recognise that Jesus, who was the Word made flesh. Now, when I was looking in Matthew Henry, he explained that at that time there was a common saying. It wasn't correct, but it was a common saying. He that has the words of the law has eternal life. And so the people were studying the law of Moses, looking to see how they could earn salvation through obedience to the law. Now, the law is holy, but it doesn't have the power to save us. It does show us what is right and wrong, and we need to come to the realization that in our own strength we can't live a perfect life. We all need a savior. And I think in the songs today that was reflected. Thank you for the choice of songs. That was, I mean, it's just so perfect. So I don't know whether you'd got all these scriptures, but thank you. We have to get that realization. The Holy Spirit has to stir us in our heart that actually we can't do it on our own. We do need a Savior. Only Jesus lived the perfect life. He came to take our place and to bear the punishment for our sin, to die. To die on a cross in our place and then to rise again to give us new life. So with the coming of Jesus, everything changed. There was such an enormous paradigm shift from all the Old Testament of the law from Moses up to the time Jesus died. There was such a change taking place. And these people, they didn't understand who they had in their midst or what was soon to happen. They didn't realize that Jesus had come to die for them and for us. Matthew Henry again, he says, we must search the scriptures for Christ as the new and living way that leads to eternal life. We go to the person of Jesus Christ for eternal life. Jesus offered them to come to him, but sadly they rejected him. Since I've learned about the Holy Spirit's help, I can now see some truth about Jesus in every book of the Bible. It's really transformed the way that I read the Bible, the way I unpack it, and it's just such a delight. So every time I see something extra in the Old Testament about Jesus and his amazing grace, I get a real thrill. It's so wonderful. But if you still need a bit of convincing about this, I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures from Luke 24. Do you remember after Jesus rose again, he was walking along the road to Emmaus and he met two people. And he said, and then it says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. So it's on that walk that Jesus explained about all the scriptures, all the Old Testament scriptures that pointed to him and why he was coming and everything. And I just think that must have been the most wonderful walk to be on, and just to have that Bible study. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit to help us understand the scriptures. And when we read, let's read the Bible, we need to just take a moment every time and just pray that God will open our hearts and minds afresh to get truth out of his word each time we read the scriptures. So back to Timothy, leader of the church, and we said, all scriptures God's breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God cannot lie. God is truth. His word is truth. He is totally reliable. We need to believe this just as much as Timothy needed to believe it. And like him, we should base all our preaching and teaching on God's word. Indeed, it is the basis for Christian living. In the scripture, we meet Jesus, we find wisdom for our lives, and when we need the correction, the word can correct us. Now, people don't like being corrected. I mean, I don't like it, but if that correction is for our protection, then, well, bring it on. That's good, isn't it? The Bible contains God's wisdom about the best way to live our lives. And when necessary, the scripture can bring a much-needed warning or rebuke. I think when you look at Jesus, one of the things he particularly challenged was hypocrisy. And the word of God can challenge us if we behave hypocritically. So God's good teaching from God's word is invaluable in training us to live for God and to prepare us to be used in his kingdom plans. Now the word of God equips us for the tasks God wants us to do. He invites us to fit into his plan. And as we daily read the scriptures, we can keep on learning about the nature of God, his great love, his righteousness, his wisdom. And all this will enlarge our vision of God and his plans. And remember, God wants to use us, you and me, in his plans. So keep on reading, keep on praying for inspiration, keep on asking the Lord to enlarge your vision of him and how he can use you. Now, being involved in God's plan involves challenges, involves commitment, and we need to pray for strength so that we can be bold to preach the good news about Jesus, who is coming again. Another thing Peter said last week, Jesus is coming again soon. Amen. Yes, he is. First time he came as a servant to save, but the next time he's coming as judge, and he's coming soon. So in the letter, Paul exhorts Timothy to keep on preaching at all times and don't be put off when people seem unresponsive. We, like Timothy, need to be prepared in season and out of season. And when you stand up the front and you speak, you know, it's too easy to look at people and think, oh, they're not listening to me, or they don't like but they're not paying attention. And yet God could be working in somebody's heart very deeply, and I've realised that. So at times it may seem we've got an unresponsive audience, but God sees the heart of man and not us. And I think also we need to remind ourselves of a lovely promise in Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11. I love this. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower, bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent. So when we speak out the word of God, the power is in God's word, and God is watching over his word to bring it to fruition, and the Holy Spirit will move, and it needs to go into our hearts. You know, God is watching over his word. It's not us, it's he who watches over his word, and the Bible is God's word to us. It's got his life in it. It is truth. It brings freedom, and we need to keep our eyes on the word, keep our ears open, and speak it out. So good to read scripture out loud. Even when you're on your own, it's very good. And this will build faith in our hearts. And we need his strength, and we need our faith to develop. And it will renew our thinking as the word comes along. It renews our thinking to line up with God's will. He says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But as we read his word and let the Holy Spirit work in us, he will raise up our thoughts. He wants to raise up our thoughts to his thoughts. These are his thoughts written down, and he shares them with us. And it prepares us for the challenges that life brings. Paul warns about the time when people will no longer be willing to listen to good teaching and sound doctrine. Paul told Timothy that he would need great patience in his role as teacher and pastor. He warned him of hardships ahead. Yet he also reminded him that there was a call on his life to do the work of an evangelist. I'm not sure whether Timothy was a gifted evangelist or whether it was just here he was being reminded to do the work of an evangelist. Because sometimes, I suspect you've known people who are real gifted evangelists. And I can think of one or two people in my life that it's just so obvious that they are so evangelistic. But we all have a work to do in evangelism. We can't just put it off to other people who seem very gifted. So let us keep proclaiming the goodness of God. Let us keep on preaching the gospel of grace. We need to bring hope to people in this troubled world. God's grace will lift people up. Jesus came down to save us and to lift us up. It's a great privilege to speak to people about Jesus, to introduce them to Jesus. It's an enormous privilege to pray with somebody when they want to become a Christian. And I just want to encourage you all to say, you can do it. The Holy Spirit helping you, you can do it. Perhaps you've thought, I couldn't do that. If somebody wants to be a Christian, I would get somebody else to pray with them. But I just want to say to you, no, you can do it. And I'm going to give you a little easy way, to remember the ABCs of salvation. So simple. A, B, C. A. We need to admit that we have sinned and we need a saviour. B. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus, that he died in our place and rose again to give us new life. And C. We need to call on the name of the Lord and ask Jesus to be our Lord and Saviour. That's how we got saved, and that's how we can help somebody else. A, B, C. Admit, believe, call. So I just want to leave that thought with you, that God can use you. Keep in the word of God. Keep believing that it's God's word to you, that his life is in there for you, and read it and let it grow in you. So let's pray together. And if anybody wants to come chat to me afterwards, that's fine, or just wants encouragement, confirmation, reassurance that you do know the Lord, that's fine. So, Father God, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for your word to us. I thank you that we are free, that we can have Bibles, that we're some countries of the world, you cannot carry a Bible openly. But thank you for the word. Lord, I pray that we would all continue to read your word, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us day by day, that we would see you, Jesus, in the scriptures, that you would prepare us for the task that you've got for us to do. And Lord, help us to be bold to speak about you. And help us, Lord, to be bold, to be willing to pray with somebody to become a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.